Today, Martin Shkreli resigned as the CEO of Turing Pharmaceuticals. Earlier this year, he became the poster boy for pharmaceutical greed after his company acquired a potentially life-saving drug and then raised the price on that drug 5,000%. Then yesterday, he was arrested and arraigned on securities and wire fraud charges. He pled not guilty. The charges against Shkreli are not linked to his pharmaceutical companies, but to a hedge fund he managed years ago and an alleged Ponzi scheme there. An FBI official called his business practices, quote, a securities fraud trifecta of lies, deceit, and greed. News of Shkreli's arrest and perp walk was greeted with lots of cheers online. And joining us to look at that and other news reverberating on social media is Julia Turner. She's editor-in-chief of Slate. Welcome back, Julia.
Hi, good to be here.
A spokesman for Shkreli says he's confident that his client will be cleared of all charges. But tell us about some of the gleeful online reaction to his arrest.
People on the internet really, really enjoy hating Martin Shkreli. He has set himself up as the number one most delectably hateable internet villain of 2015, without doubt. And I think, I'm not sure there was so much discernment or discrimination yesterday online about which of the things people dislike him doing that they were cheering for. I think people were particularly upset by the hike in drug prices that first brought him to all of our attention, also somewhat upset by the fact that he bought the only existing copy of a Wu-Tang Clan album that was released in an unusual manner a year ago and then claimed to have never listened to it and to not want to share it with anybody. I think those are the things that really drew the internet's ire, but people were perfectly happy to see him go down for securities fraud or at least see a hoodied perp walk for that alleged crime.
So people were tweeting things like karma is real and now he can play his Wu-Tang Clan album in prison and things like that?
Yes, there were a lot of jokes about perhaps his lawyer would hike his hourly fees by thousands of percentage points as well. The jokes were not always so inventive, but they were delivered with gusto.
And Shkreli has defended his decision to raise the price of that drug, arguing it was necessary to fund research. Julia, is there anyone out there defending him online besides maybe his mother?
I'm not sure there's a robust defense chorus for him because it's not clear that he's really funding a ton of drug research. But, you know, I think people have pointed out that the behavior of taking a drug that's been in the market for a very long time and escalating the price is something that many people across the pharmaceutical industry have done, has been made. And the point that perhaps pointing so much vitriol at this one kind of abrasive and scurrilous guy who seems to be doing this stuff may distract people from the broader issue. So that's not quite a defense. Maybe it's a mild counterpoint.
He seemed to love to draw attention to himself. He was live streaming himself. He was getting into Twitter fights. He seemed to want to become the bad boy.
Oh, yeah. He's completely fed the fire himself with a series of all caps tweets from his own Twitter account, claiming that what he was doing made perfect sense, that morons out there couldn't understand it, that he was, you know, getting so many requests for dates and assignations per day that the rest of the world couldn't possibly believe it. So he's played into the schadenfreude that's been directed at him.
Well, let's turn to something else that's trending globally on social media.
The Force. It's calling to you.
We probably don't need to remind anyone that Star Wars The Force Awakens opened this week. There's been so much talk about this everywhere, Julia. How can people avoid spoilers if they haven't seen the film?
It's so funny because at a certain point, a cultural phenomenon is so big that you know it's big because everyone on the internet is talking about it. You know, the Serial podcast last year or the Jinx, or there have been certain cultural moments this year that have led to an internet-wide conversation. But Star Wars The Force Awakens is even bigger than that. It's so big that it has shut down all conversation. So it feels like the entire internet this morning is just kind of clenched in fear that the people who have seen it might ruin for the people who haven't. And there's been some kind of division. Almost feels like there's two internets. So there are a few efforts afoot to help people avoid spoilers. One is a Chrome extension that you can install in your browser that purports to remove all mentions of the movie or spoilers from the movie from your view. Unclear how well it works. You'd have to be willing to see if you could be spoiled, I suppose, to test it. There's also been a bit of a battle at the online site Reddit, where some users are pranking other users who are avowed Star Wars fans, you know, either by posting in unexpected feeds spoilers from the movie or privately messaging those spoilers to folks. And there's an effort afoot to ban those users. You know, one other effort too was Stephen Colbert. Started a spoilers hashtag where he began distributing fake spoilers as a kind of a dazzle and distraction effort.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, including there's a scene where Chewbacca gets into some dark chocolate and he has to spend the night at the vet. So there's a host of presumably fake, perhaps I've just ruined the movie, but presumably fake spoilers coming from Stephen Colbert as well.
Well, not spoiling Star Wars, Julia Turner, editor-in-chief of Slate. Thanks and happy holidays.
Thanks so much.